ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 31. Yena eva aham bhagavata vasudevasya vedasa maya anubhavam avidam yena Gachanti tat padam yenaivaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasa mayanubhavam avidam yena gachanti tat padam. Words do the devotees recognize in the verse? Aham. Okay, what does aham mean? Yeah. So, and Bhagavato? Okay. Two. Vasudevasya? What's that? Yes, of Vasudeva. Vedasa, Vedasa. Maya, what does Maya mean?
What's that?
Mind? Maya.
Which is not
Maya. Maya's mind? No, that's Manasa. Maya is energy. Here it's translated as energy, but it's usually the illusory energy. Gachanti.
Singing?
That's Gayanti. Close, it was both begin with a G. Gachanti. That's Gayanti. Gachanti means to go. Padam. Yes, feet. Lotus feet. Padam means lotus flower. Or padam means feet. And pala pankaja padam. Pankaja means lotus flower. So yena means? Yeah, of which, by which. Sometimes of whose also. And eva? Certainly or also or and or. So certainly. Yenaivaham Bhagavato Vasudevasya Vedasa. Vedasa means of the Supreme Creator. And Maya Anubhavam. Anubhavam. Well, anu, yeah, Anu sometimes means small. Usually Anu means to follow one after another. And Bhava means the nature. Bhava. So, but here it means, anubhava means to influence. Avida means easily understood. And yena, by which? Gachanti tatpadam. So what does gachanti tatpadam mean? Well, actually, tat means usually his or something like that. His padam. So here it's translated as at the lotus feet of the Lord. So gachanti tat padam? To go to the lotus feet of the Lord. To go to Krishna. Yena, by which one goes to the lotus feet of Krishna. Maya nubhavam avidam. So easily understood, the influence of the energy. And yenaivaham bhagavato. By which I, this personality of Godhead, Vasudevas, of Vasudev, Vedasa, easily understood. So something about by which I easily understood about the personality of Godhead, and knowing about his easily knowing about his different energies, yena gacchanti tat padam, I was able to go to the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, if we just read the Sanskrit, it has no meaning. Sometimes we sing song, we sing the verses on the bhajan, and we have no idea what it means. So actually, the benefit we get out of it is quite minimal. We may like the music, we may appreciate something about, you know, the singing, but as far as actually becoming Krishna conscious, we could be singing Mary Had a Little Lamb for all the Krishna consciousness we get out of it. At least we understand what that means. Hopefully Mary was a devotee. She used little lamb in Krishna's service to make a little hat for Radha Gopinath. That would be more Krishna conscious. So we should also understand what it means. That's why we actually go through this routine every day of going through the Sanskrit. Not because we have nothing better to do, so we figure we might as well waste another 10 minutes and chant the verse. We're actually doing it, so when we hear it, we'll actually remember Krishna. We'll actually understand what we're chanting. And this way we'll become Krishna conscious. So we have to understand what we're chanting, otherwise how can we be conscious of Krishna if we don't understand it? So the translation is, by that confidential energy, by that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Shri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him personally and meet him. So more or less it says, Yenayavaham Bhagavato, by which I, of the personality of Godhead, who is the supreme creator, and probably translates that, the creator, maintainer, annihilator of everything. Vasudevasya, of Lord Shri Krishna. So Vasudev, who is the creator of everything, yena haivaham bhagavato, the personality of Godhead, I, maya anubhavam, the influence I easily understood is the influence of his different energies, and because when I understood the influence of his different energies, then I could go to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Yenayavaham
bhagavato
vasudevasya vedasa mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tatpadam yenayavaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasa mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tatpadam yena by which. So that refers to jnana guhyatamam, or this confidential knowledge. In the previous verse it says jnana guhyatama bhuya or yattat, jnana guhyatamam yattat, by that confidential knowledge. So this is yena refers to that. Eva, certainly, aham, I, bhagavata, of the personality of Godhead, vasudevasya, of Lord Shri Krishna, vedasa, of the Supreme Creator, maya, energy, anubhavam, influence, avidam, easily understood. Yena, by which. Gacchanti, they go. Tatpadam, at the lotus feet of the Lord. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Shri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. So what is the word that refers to by that confidential knowledge? yena. Eva, certainly. Aham, I, Bhagavata, of the personality of Godhead, Vasudevasya, of Lord Sri Krishna. And so I could understand clearly what word refers to that. Avidam, yes, I could understand clearly. The influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, annihilator of everything. Yes, Vedasa. And also Vasudevasya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva, who's a maintainer. So. And by knowing that, one can return to him. Yena Gacchanti, and meet him personally, and personally meet him. Tadpada. Purport. By devotional service or by the most confidential knowledge, one can understand very easily how the different energies of the Lord are working. One part of the energy is manifesting the material world, the other superior part of his energy is manifesting the spiritual world. And the Vaya Media energy is manifesting the living entities who are serving either of the above-mentioned energies. The living entities serving material energy are struggling hard for existence and happiness, which is presented to them as illusion. But those in the spiritual energy are placed under the direct service of the Lord in eternal life, complete knowledge, and perpetual bliss. The Lord desires, as he has directly said in the Bhagavad Gita, that all conditioned souls rotting in the kingdom of material energy come back to him by giving up all engagements in the material world. This is the most confidential part of knowledge, but this can be understood only by the pure devotees, and only such devotees enter the kingdom of God to see him personally and serve him personally. A concrete example is Narada himself, who attained the state of eternal knowledge and eternal bliss. And the ways and means are open to all, provided one agrees to follow in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni. According to Shruti, the Supreme Lord has unlimited energies without effort by him, and these are described under three principal headings as above mentioned. Yenaivaham Bhagavato Vasudevas Yavedasa Mayanubhavam Avidam Yena Gacchanti Tatpadam. By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. Maung Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Budaya Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamana Namaste Sarasvatam Deva Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Sudharne Iti Shetram Tata Gyanam Gyayam Choktam Samasata Madbhava Sarabhuteshu Iti Shetram Tata Gyanam Gyayam Choktam Samasata Madbhava Madbhakta Madbhakta, yeah. Etad vigyaya madbhava yopapadite. So this field of activities, the body, the kshetra, iti kshetram tata jnanam, knowledge, gyayam, the knowable, choktum samasata, have been described to me in summary, madbhakta, my devotee, etad vigyaya, only my devotee can know this fully, madbhava yopapadite, and therefore obtain to my nature. In other words, our understanding about Krishna's energies is the progressive path of coming to understand who Krishna is. Krishna says, dhanma karma tame yam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktavideham panarajanma naiti mam eti sorjana. That one who can understand Krishna's birth and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take birth again in the material world, but attains my transcendental abode. So So this tattvataha means by factual experience. So our study of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not simply an academic attempt to understand things theoretically, but it's an attempt to understand things in such a way is that it makes a difference in our life. So we can change our conceptions and therefore change our goals in life, change our activities, etc. This change is called Arnarto Pasamam Sakshat. This change of consciousness, change of activities, change of ultimately of attitude from a materialistic attitude for self-enjoyment to a devotional attitude to please Krishna and his devotees. This is what this knowledge aims at. And Krishna says, iti kshetram, if we understand this body. Most people think they've understood the body, or they think understanding the body means to break it down into a liver, a pancreas, an intestine, and the more we break it down, understand how the physiological functions of the body work, then we've understood the body. Of course, no matter how much the scientists, they try to break down the physiological aspects of the body, they don't seem to make very much progress. Because they think the body is simply a mechanical machine, and therefore if we understand it, therefore we can prevent it from doing whatever it's doing. They may understand a little bit, but not very much. They can't prevent it from dying. And even if there's something goes wrong with it, they just usually just take it out and replace it with something plastic. But the plastic thing doesn't seem to work as well as the original. Even though the original didn't work, the plastic thing doesn't seem to work any better or worse. This type of understanding of how the body functions is not what Krishna says about the body. We should understand that the body is a machine, or at least Ayurveda breaks it down into a vayu, kapha, and pitta. But even this understanding is not what Krishna is talking about. We should understand that the body is different from the self. That the body is a machine, and that we're in the machine. Just like, for instance, to drive a car, you don't have to understand everything about the car. It's not that everyone, they spend their lives studying how the car works, fearful that if something happens to the car, then they're finished. Going to church, praying for their car. My dear Lord, please protect my car. People are not so foolish. They realize if my car breaks down, I'll simply get another one. Nor are they overly concerned, you know, I have to go in and have my radiator taken out. People aren't in the church praying, my dear Lord, please help, please have the removal of the radiator successful. Because the nature of the body is that it's temporary, or the nature of a car is temporary. It has its use. One wants to understand exactly what's necessary so that one can use the car, how to drive it, where it's supposed to go, etc., etc. More than that, most people have an interest. If something goes wrong, they take it to the repairman and hopefully he fixes it, or else they have to get another one. So similarly, iti kshetram tata jnanam. So once you know something about the body, what's necessary, so that we can make progress in devotional service. We should also know what is the process by which we can understand things properly. The process, modern society, they think, if I go to school, then I get enlightened. But modern society doesn't really enlighten people very much, because we can see that before they went to school, they were rather innocent. And after they come out of school, all the good, whatever good quality they had is finished. They become simply educated animals. But this is not knowledge. Krishna explains that amaritvam adambitvam. Knowledge begins with humility. So people, if they heard that knowledge begins with humility, they think that this is horrible. They think that this type of knowledge, if you learn it, simply people will take advantage of you. You'll lose all your enthusiasm to get ahead in life. And therefore all your progress will be checked. You won't even be able to get a good job because you'll be too humble and people will cheat you and take advantage of you. Therefore, their conception is that you have to be proud. And even if you are humble, then you have to put on a show that actually you have a lot of self-esteem, that you're actually proud of yourself. Therefore, we find that even people with inferiority complexes, generally they're the people who are the bullies on the block. They're always trying to show actually they're something other than they lack confidence. But humility is the progress, because without humility, how is it possible to learn anything? If I think I know something, then why will I bother wasting my time listening to anyone? If I think I've already understood everything perfectly, then what is the question of hearing from anyone? So unless I at least have the attitude that how could I have understood everything clearly, I'm identifying myself with this body, so I must be in ignorance. After all, if I don't know who I am, how intelligent could I be? If someone asks you, who are you? And you say, well, I'm this body, but that's wrong. Then the basic principle, just like if someone walked up to you and said, who are you? And you go, well, I'm Bill Clinton. They go, wait a second, are you sure? Well, as far as I understand, that's who I am. Are you sure? Well, you know, that's all I know is I'm Bill Clinton. Well, I hate to tell you, you're not Bill Clinton. Oh, no, I don't know anything. I'm completely bewildered then. So now we identify ourselves with this body, but we're not the body, so we're wrong. The basic principle of who we are, we don't know. Therefore, everything else is wrong. If I think I'm this body, then all my so-called knowledge is a waste of time. So, amaritvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shanti, arjavam. So this is all knowledge about how things are really working. Number one, that I'm an illusion, and I have a spiritual identity, but I have no idea who it is. I have a relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas, and I don't even know which rasa I have a relationship with. I don't even know that I'm actually a spiritual being, nor do I know what my spiritual identity is. Gayam. Nor do I even know what the object of knowledge is, namely the Self and the Supreme Self. But Krishna says, iti kshetram tata jnanam gyam choktam samastata. So Krishna has explained these things in summary in the Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter and said, madbhakta, my devotee, madbhakta etat vigyaya madbhava yopapadyate. They can understand this as it actually is. So by the process of devotional service to Krishna and by hearing, then the result is that one can understand these things as they actually are. Madbhakta etad vigaya madbhava nopapadyate. So by understanding that I am not this body, I am a spiritual being, and that there is another spiritual person who is unlimitedly blissful, unlimitedly conscious, and is eternal, just as I am. So by hearing that I can associate with him and realize my real identity simply by the process of proper hearing, then madbhava yopapadyate, one can obtain Krishna's nature. Ye'enam veti purusham prakritim chai ganai saha sarvata vatmanonopi nasabuyo bidayate, that yaena veti purusha prakritim chai ganai saha. So that one who understands this philosophy concerning the living entity, material nature, and the Supreme Person, Enam Veti Purusham Prakritim Jayakanai Saha Sarvata Vatmananopi Nasabhuya Bijayate, will not take birth again in this material world despite his present position. In other words, the soul is not at all affected by his material circumstances, but he is affected by illusion. And because of that illusion, he misunderstands what his real occupation is. He thinks his occupation is to serve the temporary material body in which he's situated. Sometimes he's serving the body of a demigod, sometimes the body of a worm. But in any case, he has nothing to do with either the body of the demigod or the body of the worm. But he does have something to do with Krishna, and when he understands his relation with Krishna and serves Krishna, then the result is that in spite of whatever present position he may be situated in, he gets the opportunity to go back to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvasha yoga maya samavrita muda yam nabhijananti loka yam ajam avyayam, that I am never manifested to the foolish and unintelligent. So there are many varieties of foolish and unintelligent persons. Great, great, big yogis, or Krishna says, namam, he defines the mudhas, the foolish people, the hard-working asses, or the diskritinas, the naradamas, those who look civilized but actually are less than animals, whose activities are beastly, or who take to the process, Śrīla Viṣvanātha-cakravartī Thakura says, or those who take to the process of devotional service and later on give it up because of they never really took it seriously. And Maya Pritigyanas, those who have great philosophies, but their philosophy doesn't really end up in devotional devotion. And Asarim Bhava Mashityas, those who are inherently envious of Krishna. And then also there's the demigod worshippers and the impersonalists. They're all considered to be under the influence of the illusory energy. So Krishna never reveals himself to them because he's covered by Maya. But he does reveal himself to the devotees. Vedaham sarabhute, Vedaham saratitani, Vartmanani, Arjuna, Bhavishami Chabhutani, Mamtu Vena Nakastrina. So although Krishna knows everything and therefore his knowledge is perfect, although he's in everyone's heart, giving everyone whatever knowledge they want, but most people aren't interested in Krishna. Why? Because Ichcha Dvesha Samutena, Dvanko Mohena Bharata, Sarva Bhutani Samoham, Sargeyanti Parantapa. They're interested in two energies, Ichcha and Dvesha. They're interested in the energy of how to become God, how to become independent of God and do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, in what mood they want to do it. This is all called independence. They want to be independent. They desire to be independent. And dvesha, they hate the fact that they're conditioned by so many different circumstances. Or they want to be God and they hate the fact they can't be God. So these are the two primary energies that the living entities are under. Ichcha and dvesha, attachment and aversion. Attachment to false conceptions and aversion to the real conceptions. Therefore Krishna says, Yesham antakatam papam janana bunya karmanam te dvanva mohanir muktva vajante mam drida vrataha. So by following a process, gradual process, one can gradually be elevated from being under the control of the senses to gradually controlling the senses according to Vedic regulations, then rising up to a purified platform of goodness by which one can understand something about his identity as a soul, then to begin the process of cultivating knowledge about himself and the Supreme Lord, and then engage in practical devotional activities by which he gradually becomes to the point of meditating upon Krishna constantly, and then being able to feel Krishna's presence everywhere and all times with love and affection. So there's a gradual process by which one can gradually elevate himself from being under the influence of one type of energy, the mode of ignorance, and then gradually coming into the mode of passion, to the mode of goodness, and then transferring the influence to the spiritual influence, oneself into the spiritual influence by the change of desire. As the living entity changes his desire to be situated in one kind of influence, and gradually Krishna changes that influence. So as Narada Muni, or as anyone else, understands what's a better place to go. Just like people go on vacation generally to places, well, of course nowadays they may go anywhere. But so as Narada Muni, or as anyone else, understands what's a better place to go. Just like people go on vacation generally to places, well, of course nowadays they may go anywhere. But generally people go where it's warm and sunny and they find out there's nice food and there is nice whatever. They go there. Most people don't go, you know, camp out in front of a butcher place. Let's go for a vacation. We can go and visit the slaughterhouse. Because that time is coming when people will go for a vacation to a slaughterhouse. Let's go and hear the animals scream. Most people are not so degraded so far. They want to go to a place which is peaceful, nice atmosphere, good food, etc. So when they hear about from their friends that there is this nice place, maybe Hawaii or someplace, and they read the advertisements and they want to go there. They'll spend money. They'll work all year long for 2 weeks to go to this place. They'll sacrifice because they heard it's a good place to go to. So similarly, that's what the Bhagavatam does. The Bhagavatam's advertising that this is the lousy place you're in. You're getting a bad deal. Maya's cheating you. She's charging you so much rent to be there. Why don't you go to this place and you'll be happy and everything's free. You get a much better deal. So Bhagavatam advises, you know, go here. So if we take it seriously and we develop a desire to go there, then naturally we'll go there. Just like in the story of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Śrīla Sanātana Goswami, Gop Kumara is hearing about different places. First of all, he wanders by one river, the Jamuna, and he meets his spiritual master there who gives him a mantra, a Gopal mantra. And he chants the mantra, and he's not really so clear what the mantra is all about, but he sees this cowherd boy there when he chants the mantra, and he's not really so clear, you know, what it's all about. But he hears from some friends that it would be, you know, that there's a place called Jagannath Puri, and if you go there, it's very wonderful, and so much, you know, wonderful prasadam is there, and people are very devotional and friendly. So he chants the mantra Gopal, and somehow or another he winds up there. And then he hears when he's in Jagannath Puri, then he keeps on chanting the mantra, and somehow or another he becomes the king of Jagannath Puri. And then he hears about there's a much better place to go to, Indraloka, where he can be, you know, if you go there, things are much better. He chants the Gopal mantra, and winds up there. And then he hears that, you know, somehow or another he keeps on chanting the mantra, he becomes Indra. But then the demons are always coming and attacking him. And one day the sages come from Mahaloka to perform some sacrifice. So he hears it's actually much better to be there. So he chants the Gopal mantra and he winds up there. And it goes on and on. He goes from Mahaloka to Janaloka to Satyaloka. Finally he almost merges in Brahman. He keeps on chanting the Gopal mantra, so he winds up on Mahashiva Loka. Then he finds out that actually Vaikuntha is much a better place to go to, so he chants the Gopal mantra, and he winds up on Vaikuntha. Of course, he not only chants the mantra, but he has to go through some austerity sometimes in order to go to these places. I mean, the real austerity is chanting the Gopal mantra, but just like he's on Vaikuntha, he's not satisfied there. So he keeps on chanting the Gopal mantra, and he winds up in Dwarka, then Ayodhya, or first Ayodhya, then Dwarka, and finally he winds up in Goloka Vrindavan. And the reason why he's going from one place to another is because he's really looking for Gopal. But as his desire to obtain Gopal increases, then he winds up in different atmospheres, in different places, according to the intensity of his desire and his understanding what his objective is. So Krishna manifests himself, whether it's in Jagannath Puri, or Indraloka, or Mahaloka, as Vamanadeva. He's appearing in so many different ways to this Gopakumara. And gradually Gopakumara is getting, he's understanding the real person I'm looking for is the person who's appearing in the mantra, Gopal. And as he realizes it more, than Krishna appears before him in so many different ways. So similarly, as we develop our desire to obtain Krishna, then Krishna will arrange different types of atmospheres. Of course, we don't have to go to Indraloka or Mahaloka or even Vaikuntha, that Krishna will change the atmosphere internally of ourselves by changing the modes of nature in which we're situated to gradually bring us to the spiritual platform, and then gradually we can meditate on Krishna, on the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna. And then feel his presence always and everywhere at all times. So this knowledge is being given. It's never recommended. And therefore, the explanation of what mode of nature we're situated in, how to rise to a higher nature, and finally how to obtain the completely be situated in the spiritual nature is explained. Otherwise, the conditioned soul simply rot in the material world, sometimes as Indra, sometimes as Brahma, sometimes as the worm and stool, and in all circumstances they're in ignorance about their real identity. So the Bhagavatam tries to clear this up, what the different atmospheres are, the different types of energies. Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha Natatsya Karyam Karnam Chavidyate Natatsamascha Vyadikas Chidrishyate Parasya Shakti Vividaiva Shriyate Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. That the Supreme Lord has nothing to do. Natatsya Karyam Karnam Chavidyate. All this is going on by automatically. It's not that Krishna, he's in Goloka Vrindavan, sewing a garland of Kadamba flowers to Srimati Radharani, and he's all in anxiety, what's happening in the material world? He hears some rumor that Brahma fell down, so he's in anxiety. Maybe I should stop sewing the garland and go down and find out what's happened. No, Krishna has nothing to do. Either in this material world, everything is automatically going on. He has a perfect arrangement. He has no anxiety whatsoever. Natatsya karyam karnam cha vidyate natatsamas cha vyadikas cha drishyate. He doesn't have to worry that someone's going to come along and mess up his management structure, change everything around. No, Krishna is the greatest of everyone, and that's eternally going to be a fact. It's not that down here we're going to have an election and vote Krishna out of office. We demand another, supreme leader. No, whether we like it or not, Krishna is eternally, he occupies that post of the supreme leader. And he's not going to share it with anyone. Doesn't matter how much we vote him out of try and vote him out of office by democracy, he's going to stay. We can send him a petition, we want someone else, we want, Indra to be, or Shiva to be the supreme leader for at least a day. No, it doesn't matter how much, what petition we send, whatever we do, Krishna is eternally this leader. Parasya Shakti Evri Vidaiva Shriyate, and eternally his energy is reacting in a certain way. Just like Ravana, he wanted that if people perform pious activities, they go to hell, and if they perform impious activities, they go to heaven. So he wanted that, but that's not the way things work. Parashya Shakti Irvi Vidaya Shriyate Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. Krishna has so many different types of energies headed by strength or existence and knowledge and bliss, and they're all acting in different ways. So if we understand how they're acting, then we can know how we can properly desire and act, and by doing that we can transfer ourselves to the spiritual world. Or if we want, we can go to the heavenly planets, or we can go to hell if we want. Wherever we want to go, that facility will be given to us, and the more we understand, then the more we can make a proper choice. Otherwise, if we don't have proper knowledge, then it's unlikely we'll wind up in the right place. If we don't know about, just like sometimes they're looking for, I think it was Balboa, he came looking for the fountain of youth, but he couldn't find out where it is. Because he couldn't find out where the fountain of youth is, or was, therefore he died. He never became youthful again. So he was very anxious to find some place, but because he didn't know where it was, he never got it. Or Prabhupada writes that there's a mountain of gold in the Himalayas, that Arjuna, he's known as Dhananjaya, because when Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to perform a sacrifice, it was after the Battle of Kurukshetra. So, one of those jagas. I guess Krishna is saying he was Dhananjaya in the Bhagavad Gita, so it must have been before. So it was the Rajasuya jaga. They needed a certain amount of wealth because the canopies and the altar was made out of gold, and they had to throw in so many jewels into the fire, and all the Brahmins had to be given so much offerings, and et cetera, et cetera. Just the bhoga bill was enormous for the sacrifice, because all the demigods came. There's 33 million demigods, and it's hard to tell them to go home, not enough room. So just the bhoga bill was enormous for the sacrifice, so they needed some wealth. So Krishna told Dhananjaya, Arjuna, that he should go to the Himalayas, and there was one king, Mandata, and he had a mountain of gold there. And he built an altar of sacrifice made out of gold. And when the Brahmins came, he used to give them gold plates to eat from. And the Brahmins, they used to throw the gold plates away, just like we throw away paper plates. So there was a whole stack of golden plates there, a whole mountain of golden plates. So all he had to go is, and they're still there, if anyone wants to go and find it. As long as you get 50% of the temple to Radha Gopinath. So there, it's there, but unless we know where it is, how are we going to find it? You can go to the Himalayas, look around until the end of your life, and if you don't have the proper map, you might get lost and you might not find the goal. So similarly, unless we have the proper map, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we don't know where we're going. And even if we find out that there's a nice place to get to, we won't know how to get there. So the Bhagavatam is our knowledge about how the different energies of Krishna work. And as we understand it more clearly, avidyam, then we can tatpadam, gachanti tatpadam, yena gachati tatpadam. Then we can go there to the lotus feet of Krishna. And if we don't understand that, then Krishna said, yat pada pankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya kama shayam grahitam ugratayanti shanta taravanya rikta matayo yatayo piruda shutoganas tamarunam bhajavasudeva. So the prajetas, they're praying to Lord Shiva that if we understand about Krishna, easily the hard knot of our material desires will be cut. But if we don't take to that process, and we take to another process, like jnana, cultivating knowledge, or austere yoga practices and meditation, then even though we may temporarily, our consciousness may rise up due to austerities and cultivation of knowledge, but as soon as we become attracted to some remembrance, some little desire, then the result is, as soon as we become attracted, then we fall down again. The example is Vishwamrita Muni meditating for 60,000 years, And that's by hearing the ankle bells of Apsara, he was back where he was before, after 60,000 years. That's pretty disappointing. Most of us would get quite depressed. Even after chanting Hare Krishna for 10, 15 years, if the devotees, they start lamenting, I didn't make enough progress. So imagine sitting there for 60,000 years, and then suddenly you're back where you started from. But he was determined, and he meditated for another 60,000 years. And again he fell down. And then he sat down for another 60,000 years, and he learned by experience, a lot of experience. And he finally, after 180,000 years, they gave him second initiation. Although he expected a little bit more, but that's, you know, that's all they gave him. So we ourselves are not so patient. So we shouldn't take to this process because we'll be quite disappointed. Instead, one should worship the lotus feet of Krishna. Very quickly, one can become elevated. Prabhupada promised in one lifetime, even that we're so impatient. Only one lifetime. I got to wait 50 years. This is too much, you know. Prabhupada said if you take it seriously in one lifetime, one can go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we should stick to the process and gradually make progress. And Krishna says, Pratyatnad yatmananastu yogi kilvisha yogi neka kilvisha aneka yatisam pravabhya sena tenaiva riyate yavishopi saha jignasya api yogasya shavda brahmati vartate. That even somehow or another, if we're not successful, if we seriously engage in Krishna consciousness and we even get a little glimpse of the spiritual energy in this lifetime, then we'll become anxious to obtain it, to gradually make progress in that direction. Pratyatnyat yatmananasto yogi kilvi and yogi neka kilvisha aneka yanti. Pratyatnyat yatmananasto yogi samshuda kilvisha aneka janma samsidas tato yati param gatim. So, pratyatna, by becoming more serious, that's our problem, we're not very serious about the process. Yatmananas too, and then becoming serious about it, and then actually following it. Yogi samshuda, then one becomes completely purified. Kilbisha, of all his bad habits, everything that's not related to Krishna. Aneka janma samsidas, and then after some time, he reaches complete perfection. Tatoyati paramgatim. Then he becomes eligible to go back to the spiritual world. So, as much as we become serious, pratyatnad, and therefore, pratyatmananastu, and therefore practice seriously, then pratyatnad, yatmananastu, yogi, yogi, what's the next word? Samsudha, yes. Yatmananastu. Yogi samshuda kilvisha. Then gradually we'll become purified. And then aneka janma samsidas. Then we'll come gradually to complete perfection. Tatoyati paramgatim. Then we become qualified to go to the supreme destination. Stop there. Are there any questions? Yes. You want to go to another planet?
Even though we are here,
Krishna consciousness,
we can also go to other planets.
Therefore, Pariksha Maharaj, at the time of leaving his body, he was praying that it doesn't really matter what destination I go to, let the snake bird come and bite me, but I simply pray that in my next lifetime I can get the association of devotees and go on hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we don't know where we're going after leaving this body. There's no guarantee. But at least we want the opportunity to come back so we can associate with devotees and hear a chant about Krishna. Get a little prasadam. Just like Bharat Maharaj, he left his body, became a deer. Now, if he may have been thinking, you know, they told me that I'll get at least the human form of life if I chant Hare Krishna. But he became a deer. You can't go to, you know, you can't say, I want a refund, there's some mistake. Krishna must have made a mistake. Wait a second. No, that's what happened. He became a deer. But he got the opportunity because he was a devotee, very advanced devotee, that he remembered who he was in his last lifetime and why he became a deer. Therefore, he went to Bhadrika Ashram, and there he simply listened to the sadhus here in chant about Krishna. Took a few leaves every day, his prasad. And he heard, all day long, he heard the sadhus here in chant about Krishna. Therefore, in his next lifetime, he became Jadbara. And completely absorbed his mind and his consciousness in Krishna consciousness. So we don't know, but we should pray to Krishna, at least let me come back in the association of devotees and hear and chant about your glories. Anything else? Yes.
When we go back to the spiritual world, do we get the spiritual body, or is it the soul itself that manifests the spiritual body?
Yeah, we are the spiritual body. Who else are you? We are. But it's dormant just like in a seed. Just like a tree is dormant in a seed, so similarly our spiritual body is now dormant. But that is our identity. Not that I become someone else. That's who we are. We are the spiritual body. But it becomes manifested. Therefore it said, by the process of hearing and chanting, it's just like watering the seed. And gradually as the seed grows, then gradually the spiritual body, as our devotional attitude grows, so does our spiritual body gradually become manifested. Yes.
Stated is it the Pandavas or some? There were some devotees who went back to God in the same body. So that means their spiritual body was already manifested.
Yeah, sure. Means that they were living in the spiritual world even in this body. Also, Sanatana Goswami gives a similar statement, which I forget the word. Yata. Just like Kanchana Yati, a bell metal, Kangsyam Janita, just like Kanchana Janita, just like bell metal in contact with mercury, by an alchemical process becomes gold. So similarly, when by the process of initiation, which means making spiritual advancement, one, although born in a lower family, lower situation, lower consciousness can be transformed into a Brahman. So one doesn't have to wait for another change of body before one becomes a Brahman. Brahman means change of consciousness. Of course, along with change of consciousness should be a change of activities too. As Prabhupada writes, we work not with our body but with our mind and intelligence. So if there's a change of body, of intelligence and mind, if they become purified, and our activity should also change. So similarly, one can also change not only to a Brahman, one can go to the topmost position of the spiritual world. What is that verse? Aho bhata swapacho to garyan yaj jivagre vartate namatu vyam tapo tapaste jivam Nugra, I forget the last one. So, Aho bhata svapato to garyan, ejiva gre vartate namatum vyam, tapas, tapes, to something. So, if one takes to the process of Krishna consciousness in all seriousness, then he gets the results of all the Vedic practices. of austerity and performing sacrifices and studying the Vedas and bathing in holy rivers, etc. And at the end, he goes back to the spiritual world. So by this process, the whole purpose of the Vedas is to gradually purify oneself, ultimately to come back to spiritual consciousness. So even this life, even this body, we can live in the spiritual world. Katagraja. Tirte tiratani bhutani yantakstena katavritaha. That Vidura said that saints like yourself, or Yudhisthira Maharaj said, told Vidura, the saints like yourself are verily holy places personified, because wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage, because you carry the Lord within the heart. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.